For Bean, the assignment was merely to think of the unthinkable. Stupid ploys that might be used against them, and ways to counter them. Equally stupid innovations they might introduce in order to sow confusion among the other armies and, Bean suspected, get them sidetracked into imitating completely non-essential strategies. Since few of the other commanders understood why Dragon Army was winning, they kept imitating the nonce tactics used in a particular battle instead of seeing the underlying method Ender used in training and organizing his army. As Napoleon said, the only thing a commander ever truly controls is his own army. Training, morale, trust, initiative, command, and, to a lesser degree, supply, placement, movement, loyalty, and courage in battle. What the enemy will do and what chance will bring, those defy all planning. The commander must be able to change his plans abruptly when obstacles or opportunities appear. If his army isn't ready and willing to respond to his will, his cleverness comes to nothing. The less effective commanders didn't understand this. Failing to recognize that Ender won because he and his army responded fluidly and instantly to change, they could only think to imitate the specific tactics they saw him use. Even if Bean's creative gambits were irrelevant to the outcome of the battle, they would lead other commanders to waste time imitating irrelevancies. Now and then, something he came up with might actually be useful. But by and large, he was a sideshow. That was fine with Bean. If Ender wanted a sideshow, what mattered was that he had chosen Bean to create that show, and Bean would do it as well as it could be done. But if Ender was lying awake tonight, it was not because he was concerned about Dragon Army's battles tomorrow and the next day and the next. Ender was thinking about the buggers and how he would fight them when he got through his training and was thrown into war, with the real lives of real men depending on his decisions, with the survival of humanity depending on the outcome. In that scheme, what is my place? Thought Bean. I'm glad enough that the burden is on Ender, not because I could not bear it. Maybe I could. But because I have more confidence that Ender can bring it off than that I could. Whatever it is that makes men love the commander who decides when they will die, Ender has that. And if I have it, no one has yet seen evidence of it. Besides, even without genetic alteration, Ender has abilities that the tests didn't measure for, that run deeper than mere intellect. But he shouldn't have to bear all this alone. I can help him. I can forget geometry and astronomy and all the other nonsense and concentrate on the problems he faces most directly. I'll do research into the way other animals wage war, especially swarming hive insects, since the formics resemble ants the way we resemble primates. And I can watch his back. Bean thought again of Bonzo Madrid, of the deadly rage of bullies in Rotterdam. Why have the teachers put Ender in this position? He's an obvious target for the hatred of the other boys. Kids in battle school had war in their hearts. They hungered for triumph. They loathed defeat. If they lacked these attributes, they would never have been brought here. Yet from the start, Ender had been set apart from the others. Younger but smarter, the leading soldier, and now the commander who makes all other commanders look like babies. Some commanders responded to defeat by becoming submissive. Karn Karby, for instance, now praised Ender behind his back and studied his battles to try to learn how to win, never realizing that you had to study Ender's training, not his battles, to understand his victories. But most of the other commanders were resentful, frightened, ashamed, angry, jealous, and it was in their character to translate such feelings into violent action, if they were sure of victory. Just like the streets of Rotterdam. Just like the bullies struggling for supremacy, for rank, for respect. Ender has stripped Bonzo naked. It cannot be borne. He'll have his revenge as surely as Ashiel avenged his humiliation. And the teachers understand this. They intend it. Ender has clearly mastered every test they set for him. Whatever battle school usually taught, he was done with. So why didn't they move him on to the next level? because there was a lesson they were trying to teach, or a test they were trying to get him to pass, which was not within the usual curriculum. Only this particular test could end in death. Bean had felt Bonesaw's fingers around his throat. This was a boy who, once he let himself go, would relish the absolute power that the murderer achieves at his victim's moment of death. They're putting Ender into a street situation. They're testing him to see if he can survive. They don't know what they're doing, the fools. The street is not a test. The street is a lottery. I came out a winner. I was alive. But Ender's survival won't depend on his ability. Luck plays too large a role. Plus the skill and resolve and power of the opponent. Bonesaw may be unable to control the emotions that weaken him, but his presence in battle school means that he is not without skill. He was made a commander because a certain type of soldier will follow him into death and horror. Ender is in mortal danger. And the teachers, who think of us as children, have no idea how quickly death can come. Look away for only a few minutes. Step away far enough that you can't get back in time, and your precious Ender Wiggin, on whom all your hopes are pinned, will be quite, quite dead. I saw it on the streets of Rotterdam. It can happen just as easily in your nice, clean rooms here in space. So Bean set aside classwork for good that night, lying at Ender's feet. Instead, he had two new courses of study. He would help Ender prepare for the war he cared about with the buggers. But he would also help him in the street fight that was being set up for him. It wasn't that Ender was oblivious, either. After some kind of fracas in the battle room during one of Ender's early free time practices, Ender had taken a course in self-defense and knew something about fighting man-to-man. The Bonesaw would not come at him man-to-man. He was too keenly aware of having been beaten. Bonesaw's purpose would not be a rematch. It would not be vindication. It would be punishment. It would be elimination. He would bring a gang. And the teachers would not realize the danger until it was too late. They still didn't think of anything the children did as real. So after Bean thought of clever, stupid things to do with his new squad, he also tried to think of ways to set Bonesaw up so that, in the crunch, he would have to take on Ender Wiggin alone or not at all. Strip away Bonesaw's support. Destroy the morale, the reputation of any bully who might go along with him. This is one job Ender can't do, but it can be done.